But now the General Services Administration hires another contractor to try to integrate 10 disparate acquisition databases. GSA struggled the first time around with its contractor and the plan to improve the integrated acquisition environment. In his biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about GSA's latest attempt to straighten all of this out. Jason joins us now with more. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this is like, pushing the stone uphill. Who was the mythical character that did that and it always rolled back down? So are they going to get this one over the top this time?
Well, that's a great question. I think they hope so, of course. Of course, they said that back in 2010 as well when they put the first contract out for IAE. But GSA decided to give Booz Allen Hamilton the reins to try to modernize IAE, the Integrated Acquisition Environment. In fact, it was a very quiet contract award. The press release came out. It was not a big fanfare from Booz Allen. GSA didn't put the release out. But it's a pretty significant deal. I mean, this is a $64.5 million contract over 5 years to develop what Booz Allen calls a cloud broker model using open source and cloud technologies to modernize these 10 databases that make up IAE. Now, I've been told by other sources that maybe Booz Allen oversold what they're going to be doing here in terms of a cloud service broker model. I think the open source part, the cloud technology parts are right, but I'm not sure what the cloud broker piece is coming from. I have sources telling me now, yeah, Booz may have jumped the gun a little bit there. But the point here is not so much whether or not they jumped the gun, but GSA is again trying to modernize these 10-bit databases, going outside the government again to another contractor. But they think they have this right, and that's what the time will tell if that stone gets up the hill, Tom, or comes back on top of them.
Well, let's back up for just a moment and explain for us what they're trying to achieve with the integrated acquisition environment, GSA.
Right. So I'm going to take you all the way back to around 2003 time frame. You remember those things called the Quicksilver initiatives?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I know Mark Forman's not happy right now. He hated that name. They were called the presidential initiatives or some such nonsense. But they were back time when the e-government was big. And they said, okay, we have all these disparate databases like CCR, Central Contractor Registration, or the past performance database, or the excluded parties list. Why don't we bring them all together in one place to make it easier on contracting officers and others in the acquisition community to find the data they need to make better decisions? I mean, no one can argue with that theory, and that's where the integrated acquisition environment developed. Over time, what they found was that all these different databases needed a lot of help to bring them together. So GSA hired IBM under an 8-year, $74.4 million contract back in 2010. Now, again, the idea was to create this one-stop shop called the System for Award Management, or SAM. Well, IBM launched SAM in July 2012, and by August of 2012, it was problematic. It was not working well. It had huge issues. And shortly after, GSA issued what they call a letter of concern to IBM saying, yeah, this is a problem, and you better fix this right away. You better put your A-team on this. And while over time, SAM has gotten better, without a doubt, it's not perfect, but it has gotten better and gotten stabilized. Now GSA is saying, okay, how can we move forward with the newer technologies, the ideas around open systems, open source, and cloud? And I think that's where the Booz Allen contract now comes in. What's interesting here, Tom, is the first deal was $74.4 million. The second deal is $64.5 million. So these new technologies are only really saving $10 million. And I know it's not a one-for-one trade, but it's interesting that this contract still is fairly high.
Well, I guess the real savings then is going to come in how much less work agency contracting officers eventually need to do when they can go to one place to find out everything they need to know about a particular contractor. I mean, isn't that the ultimate goal here?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, instead of having to go to a database to look at past performance and a database to make sure they're not on the excluded parties list and a database to make sure that to find out what their, you know, Dun & Bradstreet number is, instead what they're saying is you can go to, you know, the one-stop shop concept. And I think that's what we're also seeing through GSA. Another story I wrote, Tom, that we talked briefly off there about was category management. And I think that's the same concept. Make everything easy to find in one place. And that was the whole goal of IAE, you know, 10 years ago now. But it's these databases are so big. They have so much data in them. And they're not, you know, they're all developed, you know, differently. So to bring them together has not been easy.
I guess if they had all been developed as perfectly crafted, say, Oracle databases or some other database that all matched in terms of technology and structuring, then it would be easy to combine them. And in this case, you're really trying to combine 50 different species.
I think you're right. One thing they've struggled with is initially they had this idea of, do we create a data warehouse? Do we have one big place where everything lives? Or do we use a federated approach? And I think that's where that struggle has been, is what is the best approach? And I think the new technologies behind cloud and some of the big data analytic tools and even the development of web services over the last decade, I think is really that's why GSA stepped back over the last year and a half and re-looked at this contract and said, okay, let's put a new one out and take advantage of some of these newer technologies that we're seeing work when they bring other databases together similarly across the government.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. I guess there's really two sides to all of this. The one side is if you're a contracting officer or a program manager and you want to find out about stuff that's in those 12 databases or 10 databases, then there are tools that can let you extract information and wisdom from them that so it looks like it's one to you. But on the back end, eventually they have to get rid of those 10 different databases because people presumably are still adding information to them one by one.
Right. I think eventually what GSA hopes is to have a cutoff date where both systems will run in parallel, but eventually the old system will go away once all that data is moved and the contracting officers and such are putting data into the new systems. But again, that, you know, Booz Allen got a 5-year contract. I would say we're probably two and a half, three years away from really seeing that happening. I think these older databases, while again, they have improved over the last few years, GSA did and worked with IBM to improve them. They're by far not perfect, but they are better than they were back in the initial launch of SAM in 2012.
And on the information sources front, you're writing about the Tech America Vision Conference, which was 2 days last week. We broadcast live from there on the first day of that conference a week ago today on DOD, and the next day was civilian. But what's interesting, I think, for the larger community is the fact that the press and reporting was even allowed at all during Tech America. This is the first time for that.
First time in many, many years. I think I remember going back to the Vision Conference, I want to say in the early 2000s, but for the last, you know, good 7-8 years, they've actually closed it to the press the day itself. Now, they would always, Tech America was always good, mainly because, you know, I bothered them and sent them lots of emails about opening it up. They would have a day, kind of a press briefing, but this time what they did was they opened it up, and it's such a day of, there's so much data that comes from it, and there's so much interesting information, and there's so much great research that's done by these teams. So what I did with my notebook is not try to report at all, but picked 3 things from the Defense Day and 3 things from the Civilian Day that really stood out to me, that really is going to tell the community where, you know, IT, where acquisition is heading. And I'm just going to, let me just highlight a couple for you, Tom. One interesting thing from Katrina McFarland, the Undersecretary of Acquisition for the Defense Department, she actually offered a really interesting figure about DOD's ability to stay on top from a technologically standpoint, versus the rest of the world. She said over the last 5 years, the funding for what she calls design engineering has decreased by almost 50%. She says, listen, this is not trivial. Those are engineers. Those are the basic foundation of innovation. And she says history has shown that if you invest in R&D during times of that there are threats on the horizon, periods of declining economy or declining budget or complacent periods, you're better prepared for the future. And that's the case DOD has been making time and again over the last 3-6 months, is their R&D investments have got to stay up to par. Otherwise, they will not be ready in the future. And I think she's continued to beat that drum. And interesting, there's a recent report from the Center for Strategic and International Studies that shows for fiscal 2013, DOD spending on R&D actually dropped by 21%. So maybe there's a valid concern there.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. We have been reporting this morning, and the Navy is all excited about the fact that a F-35 was able to land on a carrier for the first time. No trivial task. It's a tailhook operation. But the next thing they're going to test is whether the plane can take off from a carrier, because the one that landed didn't start off on the carrier, it started off on the ground. And so they have these things called catapults, which kind of speed up the plane faster than it can fly itself and kind of fling it into the air, basically, off a carrier. And the old systems for doing that were steam-powered, and now the Navy's developed something, and I'm sure it took a lot of research and development, the kind of money you're talking about, to develop an electromotive type of system which works better and puts less wear and tear on the planes. And I'm no expert on this, but I've been reading up a little bit about it in the aftermath of this carrier landing. So that's the kind of development and new product approach to keep the competitive, ultimately the military edge that the United States have. And I think that's probably what her concern is, McFarland.
I think so, not just hers, but I think it's a growing drumbeat across DOD, especially with, you know, uncertainty coming up in 2016 budget and sequestration. And I think that was another big theme throughout Tech America, is the budget uncertainty. What will sequestration mean if it comes back? What will the continued, if you will, decline in budget cuts? And I'll tell you, one thing that stood out from the civilian day, I'll just kind of bring up real quick, is the idea of, there's so much movement from so we've talked a lot about operations and maintenance. Something like 77-78% of all federal IT goes to operation and maintenance of legacy systems. So that means there's only 22-23% left for modernization, development, enhancement efforts, DME. What agencies are finding is that if they bring together the development and the operations together, the DevOps, they can actually take some of that O&M money and apply it to DME. Now, I know that's a lot of acronyms, but basically what they're saying is if they can change the way they work, they can actually figure out how to way to do enhancements and improvements without having to figure out how to move the money and find savings. And I think that was a very interesting trend that we're starting to see across the government, specifically, I think, in the civilian side.
So in other words, what agencies need is not necessarily lots more money, but more flexibility in how they apply the money they do have.
And I think that's the other thing, is more innovation in how they apply the money they have. And I think that's what the call was to the Tech America folks from the government employees, the experts that they talked to. They said, bring us innovation. Don't just talk about innovation, but actually show us, because we need it now more than ever. And I think this DevOps trend that is starting to increase is part of that innovation that is starting to creep up.